Cricket on the Brain 24/7 365. Well, every Monday, Corbin Middlemass and ex-test opener Ed Cowan join forces on the ABC Cricket Podcast.
And I watch him bat and I think it's like Brian Lara on steroids.
Featuring the best analysis and biggest results.
We're not better off trying to blood someone else in a series like this.
And the stories that have your cricket thread popping off.
So if I'm buying the Renegades, why would I want to purchase that?
ABC Cricket Podcast. Every Monday on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts. Because there's no off-season in cricket.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Okay, it didn't work, so we can look at many things. With Matty's experience, and I think if you look at his record in saving penalties, Patrick is new as a goalkeeper, not just in with the national team, but even in club football, and we just felt that Matty's experience will be the difference. In the end, it didn't work out that way, but not because of Matty's poor judgment or lack of ability. They took really good penalties.
That's Tony Popovic explaining his decision to replace Patrick Beach in goal with Matt Ryan for the penalty shootout that ultimately saw Australia's World Cup run end. Socceroos fans are still wrapping their heads around that move, not to mention the pain that missed penalty takers Harry Suter and Lucas Harrington must be carrying, all the while wondering what might come next for this team. There's so much to like from this tournament and plenty of reasons for optimism. But right now, gee, it feels like an opportunity missed. Mark Schwarzer is on hand. He's going to give you the best possible analysis. Let's get to it. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily World Cup Special. Former Australian goalkeeper, Socceroos legend Mark Schwarzer here to pull apart Australia's defeat to Egypt and what comes next for Australia as a footballing nation. Mark, it hurts right now. We've got to go directly to penalties. What was your reaction to Matt Ryan subbed in for Patrick Beach at the most crucial moment?
Look, I think whenever a coach makes that decision to bring in a goalkeeper in the last couple of minutes of the game to replace the playing goalkeeper, you're kind of making a statement. This guy's good at saving penalties and we're bringing him in because he's a bit of we feel like he's going to be a bit more of an advantage to us. I know we've had experiences of both, right? We've had experiences where the goalkeeper who's playing stays on and we win penalty shootouts. And then we've made a substitution like 4 years ago prior to qualifying for Qatar in that process. And obviously Andrew Redmayne comes on and saves too. I, in general, don't like the idea of it. I think, as the example today, Patrick Beach has played every game. He's played better and better in each game. He's like, first game was exceptional. Then obviously US, not real lot could do. But then the rest of the time, he's done everything was asked for him. Today, I thought he was outstanding. He's in a rhythm. He's confident. He's like 12-foot tall because of the way he's playing. And then you bring him out. And as much as, look, I'm a big fan of Matty Ryan. I've said it before, and I said he should play against Paraguay and all that sort of stuff. I just don't think you should change a goalkeeper in that situation, personally.
It came 30 minutes after his incredible save, just moments before full-time. So you sense his confidence is up. The Beach is flying, Mark.
100%. That's what I mean. It's all about rhythm, about confidence, about flying in the moment, everything about it. It's very different coming on. As an outfield player, it's different. As a goalkeeper, it's very different. I feel it's you're messing with things too much. I really do. I feel like bringing players on to take a penalty, I get that, but I don't get the goalkeeper thing, the rhythm. Player comes on and has to just kick a ball. Like, he literally comes on and picks his spot, has a routine, plays it. And I think you can do that almost cold. But as a goalkeeper, you can't just go in there. And I know Matty said, I saw what he said after the game and about, you know, he prepped as if he was going to come on and play and before the game and then half time of the extra time, he knew that if there was still a sub available, he was going to come on for the penalty shootout if it went that far. I know all that, but you still can't prep the same way. You still can't be at the moment the same way as if you're playing the game. That's my personal opinion. And regardless of, even if this was successful, I still don't think I personally don't ever like it. I don't think it is the right thing to do personally.
How hard is that assignment for Matt Ryan?
Huge. It just puts a massive spotlight on him because it's like making a statement. You're changing the goalkeeper because you believe this goalkeeper is a better penalty saver than the other one. And that's why you make the decision. That's why people have done it in the past. The Netherlands did it 2 World Cups ago in 2018. It worked once and the second time it didn't work. I just feel like you're literally magnifying the situation. You're putting someone under so much more pressure. And then Matty obviously goes the correct way once, and then the other times he goes the wrong way. So then it gets highlighted even more. because he's the one you've brought on to make the difference. I feel for all of them in that situation. I just don't feel like it's the right situation to put people in.
Tony Popovich's explanation was experience is what it boiled down to. Does that carry water when, in contrast, he's speaking about Lucas Harrington, for example?
He has played the last two games as an 18-year-old, so if I trust him to play in a game that we needed to get a result against Paraguay and a game that elimination was on the line, what's the difference with the penalty?
When you marry up those two, do they match up?
I don't think so, no, but he's also trusted Patrick Beach to play all the games, play all four games. And in the crucial moment where you're in a rhythm, you've played all the games leading up to this point, you take him out. That's why for me, and he's equally as inexperienced as, pretty close to being in his experience as Lucas Harrington. So no, personally, no. But, you know, look, he's made a call. It's wrong, and it's people that didn't work out. And it's going to be discussed, and that's always the first thing. And if Patrick stayed in goals and didn't save a penalty, then possibly the other discussion would have been, why didn't you bring on Matty Ryan, who's got all the experience in the world? And that's the brutal element of being a manager. But like I said, personally for me, either way, I'm not a fan of that scenario. Whether we'd won it on that or lost it on that, it didn't. For me, I just don't think it's the right way to do it. I feel like breaks rhythm. It puts too much pressure on the goalkeeper who's coming on.
Lots of scrutiny on Harry Suter and Lucas Harrington being put in the position to take penalties. I don't know if that's fair, probably not. Some wondered whether it was reasonable to put an 18-year-old in Lucas Harrington in that spot. Were you surprised? Because I guess from a basic bones perspective, it always feels odd to see fullbacks taking penalties.
In your first five, yeah, it does. Because traditionally, fullbacks certainly centre-halves don't often take penalties, certainly not in your first five or even your first penalty. But the thing about that is both of them obviously wanted to take it. Otherwise, they wouldn't have said so. So yeah, they missed penalties. So what? Like, not so what, but it happens. And that's part of the game. And it doesn't make the two of them any worse a player. They're two fantastic players. I mean, Harry Suter, I thought, was exceptional in the game. I thought it was outstanding. Okay, he missed a penalty. And yes, it's sad. And yes, we're out of the World Cup, but he's been brilliant. He's been outstanding as a player for the Socceroos. Lucas Harrington, I think, has been equally outstanding. I think he's been brilliant. He's a fantastic talent. And it's almost, it's not so what, but it's part of the learning curve. It's part of football, part of being in a sporting environment, part of being in that stage of a tournament. The fact is that they were brave enough and up for taking the penalty under that pressurized situation is a credit to them. They've just got to, as much as it hurts, because it hurts and you beat yourself up about it, they'll have the support of all their teammates because they were the ones that stood up and took those penalties. They'll get better for it. They'll get stronger for it.
Harrington has won no shortage of admirers for the way that he speaks, the way that he plays. And it was really cool to see the football world wrapping its arms around him with Zlatan Ibrahimovic, of all people, leading the way.
I just want to reach out to Harrington. You're 18 years old. You're young. This is just the beginning of your career. You stepping up there, you show a lot of courage. Not everybody will do that. My friend, you're the best. Don't listen to the rest. Harrington, if you want to reach out, I'm here.
But if we turn back to the Socceroos, Tommy Orr spoke about this team being one that was set up not to lose rather than going for the win. Do you feel like this team gave itself the best possible chance against Egypt?
I think you're right. There's more of a cautious approach, I feel. And I'll bang on it about it again because I've banged on it about it since game two. Aaron Kunda playing on the left and someone like Moture playing up front, but he brings Moture on, takes Aaron Kunda off. I mean, I think everybody knows that Aaron Kunda's best position is out on the left, running at players, scaring the living daylights out of people. His combination with Moture in that first game, we were best set up to hit teams and hurt teams in possession when those two are on the park. The fact that we've not had them on the park together since then makes you feel like, yeah, it's more of a cautious approach rather than, I actually believe that Egypt were a team that we could have gone at more. I agree with that element. I agree with the fact that we had an opportunity to really go at them. And I'm not saying go all guns blazing. I'm saying be more adventurous, more productive. I thought Christian Volpato was excellent in the first 45 minutes. I thought he was a real live wire. I thought he was excellent on the ball. One or two decision-making things. Look, that's going to happen of a wider player, attacking player. You know, they're going to get in the moment, they're going to do something special. They're going to find themselves a bit of space. They're going to shoot rather than maybe lay it off, and possibly should have laid it off. But, you know, these things happen, and he's only young. But I thought he was exceptional in that first 45 minutes. Second half, maybe not as influential, but the game always swings and roundabouts. But I think he's a really, really talented young man, and someone that has caught the eye. And I thought he was very, very, like a real positive acquisition to the Socceroos squad for this World Cup. So having him start was really, really positive and really important. I just feel that the balance and the out in terms of that out ball and the opportunity to get players forward. And Aaron Kunder for me was just chasing his tail most of the time, because he's working his socks off, often isolated up against big center halves by himself with his back to goal. And that's hard. That's hard for anyone, let alone for a player that doesn't naturally play that position. That's the frustrating element to it. And I know Popper's going to have his reasons for it. He's the manager. He sets his teams up for various reasons and feels that that's the best way forward. And there's no way in a million years he's doing it for any other reason, because he believes that's the right way to do it. That's fine. But when we're watching the game and you see the outcome and the way the game flows or doesn't flow and the impact you have or don't have, and then obviously the results sort of, even if we'd won the game, I'd still be going, we just need to be a bit more adventurous. We need to have a little bit more ability and also initiative to take the ball, because Egypt were always going to give us more possession. We had more possession against Egypt than we had against other teams. They had a genuine opportunity to do more, but didn't really kind of grab it by the horns, you know, and really go for it. And there was moments in the game where we had really good moments, certainly in the second half, where the game really flowed in our favour, and then we just didn't finish them off.
The conclusion of these campaigns can bring familiar questions, I suppose. Like, how do we evolve beyond a team that works hard, is organised, is physical, and maybe the perception is doesn't have the technical quality of other nations?
We do have the technical quality. We're just not utilising it. I feel like we've got it, we're getting it, we're developing it, and players are getting better and better all the time. And I think there's a really, really good, I've said this before the World Cup and I'll say it even more so now, is that obviously your Beaches, your Harringtons, your Chikati, your Boss, your Aaron Kunder, Volpato, Moture, Yengi, these players, Okon Insler, these players are the future, right? These are the players that are going to evolve and are going to get better for these experiences. We've also got to allow for them to play to their strengths. We've got to allow to be a more adventurous, more front-footed team. And at times we weren't, like, we talk about respect and we talk about gaining respect from people. You won't get the respect from people like you should if you're more defensive orientated. You're sitting back and you're just trying to see out games. You're trying to win games on the counter. You've got to be more front-footed. You've got to be more adventurous. You've got to be more proactive. And I feel like we've got, for the first time in some time, a really proactive team and an ability to be more proactive, but we're not utilizing it properly at the moment. That may come. That may come, right? And I hope it's going to come, because I think a lot of these guys, like I said, are going to grow massively from this experience.
So it sounds as though you're saying that Tony Popovich isn't necessarily getting the best out of this group, if I'm reading what you're saying correctly there.
I think he's gotten a lot out of this group. I think there's more to come. And I think you've got to provide him with a structure that allows to get the best out of individual players more regularly, like an Aaron Kunder on the left rather than through the middle, like playing a Moture up front or a Yengi up front, or someone with pace and ability to hold the ball up, a system that's going to be really, really fluid, but also you have the work rate. I mean, you look at France, you look at Argentina, for example, you look at Spain, they've got some phenomenal quality players, like technically gifted players. Out of possession, they work their socks off. And they're defensively difficult to break down. You can't tell me you can't have a really technically good players, attacking minor players, and still not be really difficult to break down and be defensively very structured and very tough. We've just got to make that step over to the next level. We've just got to be more adventurous, more confident to say, right, we're going to go for this now a little bit more, rather than we're going to have a system, we're going to stick to players' strengths, and we're going to give them the freedom to play within certain areas in the final third, whatever it is, the freedom to go and do that then, and set the team up so that you can get the best out of players like Nestor Aaron Kunder, like Moture, like Christian Volpato. You can't tell me Christian Volpato wouldn't have been even better with Moture up front and Aaron Kunder on the left. You know, for me, that just I look at that and I actually feel like that is a real genuine threat and teams are going to be actually worried about that.
Mark, if your generation 2006 was the golden generation and 2022 was our deepest ever run, how does this effort rank?
I come away disappointed because I felt like even more than what we did in 2006, this was a genuine opportunity to beat a team to get through to the next round. So get through two knockout stages. It's hard to compare because obviously there's more teams and an extra round in qualification, right, for knockout stages, but to win two knockout games. I think it was an amazing opportunity to do that. And you look back at it, I already look at it right now, and there's no disrespect to Egypt, right? Because obviously you've got one of the best players in the world there in Mo Salah, and certainly has been over time. I thought Mamouche was excellent. Ashour, down the right-hand side, who scored the goal, the header. I thought he was very, very lively and very dangerous and difficult. They've got some really good players. But I felt that it felt like we didn't believe in our own strengths enough to go at them. That's how I felt with that. I was disappointed with that lack of, at times, not all the time, but certainly at times, the lack of giving them a little bit more of a structure and freedom, set them up in a way that plays to our strengths and allow them to go and express themselves. And the key one is always going to be Nkunku on the left and someone like Moutinho out through the middle because they work so well together.
You've been calling Lionel Messi in Argentina today. They got the shock of their lives as Cabo Verde threatened to cause maybe the biggest upset in World Cup history. Just take us into that stadium. What was that atmosphere like?
It was phenomenal. Like, it was literally like being in Argentina, right? Like, I mean, it was 95% Argentinian fans. The stadium was bouncing for certainly the first 45 minutes, and then it kind of died off again a little bit once Cabo Verde got in the game, and the game kind of was really evenly poised, because I think that everyone, most of us, thought that Argentina would win the game quite comfortably, as well as Cabo Verde had done up until this point. But I tell you what, the team showed some real initiative, real heart, real determination. A team that's very much structured on defense. I know they conceded three goals today, but you look at their qualifying campaign, you look at their first three group games, only conceded two goals, didn't concede against Spain. Defensively, very strong, but the ability to they've set up, they've got the right out, they've got players up front with speed and size to win balls, and wide players to go and support them. And they did that really, really well throughout this tournament. And certainly today, they pushed Argentina all the way to the limit. I feel for them because I felt like they deserved to go to penalty shootout. Not necessarily going to beat Argentina, because Argentina, I think, only have lost one penalty shootout out of seven in World Cup history. That's not to say that wouldn't have happened again, but in the end, just wasn't quite enough. And Argentina, I mean, but that's where you want to be. You want to be able to be pushing the likes of current world champions to that level. They were amazing. They captured the hearts of so many people. Football fans around the world, I think, were taken by the character of the team, the attitude, the way in which they played football, the way they fought, the way they, you know, enjoyed themselves. It was amazing to watch.
Australian football fans are hurting today. There's still so much more to come in this tournament. Mark Schwartz is going to be with us the whole way through. Look forward to talking to you in a few days, Mark. Thanks for your time.
No problems.
We mentioned Argentina scraping past Cabo Verde. And in the final game of the day, Colombia knocked over African nation Ghana. The South Americans have been super fun to watch. They roll on to the round of 16. I'm Patrick Stack. This was ABC Sport Daily World Cup Special. Thanks to SBS and Fox Sports for the extra audio used in this episode.